happy Friday afternoon to you. Well, Friday afternoon if you're on the East Coast, Friday morning if you're out there on the West Coast. My name is Bay Ragney, and welcome to Totally Gym Radio, or as this episode is called, TDR Rocks, Totally Gym Radio Rocks, that's right. And today, I'm going to share a little interview with you that I just did the other day with the man, the myth, the legend himself, the one and only Mr. Stacy Blades. You might remember Stacy from I can't say a little tenure in LA Guns. He was actually in the band for 10 years. But you might remember him from LA Guns, of course. He's got his new band that's getting ready to release their debut album. They're called the Electric Radio Kings. And their first single slash video hit the airwaves last week. And they did a cover of the Amy Winehouse classic, Back to Black, which is just freaking amazing. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But talking to Stacy was freaking awesome. We talked LA Guns, we talked Electric Radio Kings, we talked music business, we talked Stone Temple Pilots, we talked Cheap Trick, we talked everything. So without further ado, you don't need to hear me talk anymore because you're going to hear me talking in a couple minutes, but let's listen to Stacy talk as well. So here he is, Stacy Blades.
How you doing, babe? How are you?
Good, man. Great to finally talk to you.
Well, it's been a while, hasn't it?
You know what? Actually, I met you when you were still in LA Guns. You guys played a place called The Cube in Delaware. And you guys did an acoustic thing that night. And
okay. I think I remember that.
I was a little drunk, and I met you afterwards and was talking to you and all. And I remember I was just kept saying to you, like, why don't you guys just get Tracy back in the band and be the 5 years and it would be freaking amazing. And you're like, dude, it's not up to me. It's up to Phil. It's not up to me. It's up to Steve. And so then I had to like go break Steve's balls. And I felt bad because I really broke his balls about Tracy, because I had Tracy on the show a few times and, you know, Tracy ragging about the whole Steve situation. And then I started talking about Blackie and he's just like, dude, please, enough. Enough is enough.
The past is the past.
You know, the scary thing is my next interview later on is Phil Lewis. So it's kind of weird. I got the two of you in one day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Tell my fan.
I will, man. So have you guys kept in touch over the years or?
Not really. You know, I haven't spoken to him really since I left the band. And, you know, when he does see me in town, he just kind of darts the other way and it's like, okay, whatever, you know. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah, I said you guys are both living in Vegas. That's weird.
Yeah. But we don't really talk much, and you know, he's said a few big jabs at me online and whatever. He is who he is, you know. I don't hold any resentments or anything. I you know, tried to be a good friend to him, a good bandmate, and he always just kind of kept me at arm's length. So, you know, it is what it is. Wow. It's all good. I wish him nothing but the best.
I guess that kind of led to you leaving them. I mean, where you kind of had, you know...
Yes, absolutely.
You know, guaranteed work. You know what I mean? They'd always be working each weekend. You know what I mean? Like, and to leave and then start fresh, I mean, that's got to be a scary thing for you.
It is. It's, you know, life is full of challenges. And, you know, it's, I mean, nobody has a crystal ball and saying, oh, well, you know, I'd have stayed in the band another 2 or 3 years. The same thing probably happened or what
right.
did happen. So, I mean, all roads lead here, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like when you have a certain way of life that you do year after year, year after year, after year. I mean, I was in the band for 10 years.
Sure.
So, all of a sudden, like, wow, okay, what's next? it's pretty trippy, but, I mean, I don't regret my decision. And, you know, life is great. And I'm like I said, you know, in interviews before, I'm grateful for the gig. And we made some great music together. We did some great world tours. A lot of good memories. You know, there was a lot of, you know, shitty stuff too. And it's unfortunate, you know, I mean, he might say, like, I don't understand why he left the band. I'm like, really? Okay. But, you know, I don't like to get into pissing matches. It's yeah. very juvenile. But, again, that's a past. I've been out of that band for 7 years. I've done a lot in that time, and I got a lot of amazing things going on right now. So that is the focal point.
Electric Radio Kings. Like, did you have this like in your mind for a while to put this whole thing together? Because I didn't even realize it has been together for a few years. You've been slowly like
The band has been together for two years. I've actually been working with the singer Paul since I left LA Guns. We were actually the last two guys to work with Andy Johns before Andy unfortunately untimely passed away. So it kind of solidified our friendship. Unfortunately, at that time, it just, with everything happening the way it did, it just wasn't, the stars weren't aligned for us to pursue a band situation.
Right.
But, you know, fast forward to 2017, he'd reached out to me again and wanted to do more recording. And I said, why don't you come down to Vegas? You know, Paul lives in New Orleans.
Okay.
And I said, I got some great musicians here and, you know, access to a great studio, Desert Moon, and great engineers and producers. And that's kind of how it started. And once Paul and I started writing again, it was very evident that it was like, whoa, we've really tapped into something here. Because we have a lot of the same musical, influences and likes, you know, and we agreed that it's like, let's do something kind of retro, but current, you know. So we decided that let's, you know, make this like Cheap Trick, Stone Temple Pilots, Foo Fighters, that kind of stuff, because those are bands that we both love a lot. So once we kind of had a real straight vision of what we wanted to do, it just really started coming together, and the universe was speaking to us and they're saying, you know, you guys need to take this a step further. You know, things are aligning this time. So that's kind of how the band started. And we had worked with engineer producer AJ St. James, who has done some great work with Joe Perry, Johnny Depp. What's the guy from American Idol? Can't remember his name now. So anyways, we did an EP. We recorded 3 songs with AJ, and they turned out great. And we shot the video for Sympathy for Me, which, and all of a sudden when we released that, it really kind of started garnering a lot of legs and movement and wings.
Nice.
So that came out last year, and we were already up to, within a year, 50,000 views on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
That song charted, broke the top 200 on Active Rock at 152 and number 4 on Classic Rock Radio behind Greta Van Fleet, Cheap Trick, and Guns N' Roses. So we were like, hey, something's happening here. This is cool. Alice Cooper has gotten really behind the band over the last year. He has featured us on his show Nights with Alice Cooper. We were very fortunate to play a show here in town at the Hard Rock Casino at Vinyl, playing with his son Dash Cooper, and Alice was at the show. So that was amazing to get to see him again, because I got to know him a little bit over playing shows over several years ago with LA Guns. We played a bunch of shows with Alice Cooper. So to shake his hand and just say, dude, thank you so much for, you know, the push of the band and playing us on your radio show, because it really broke the doors open for the band, nationally and commercially. So that was a very, very, very cool, grateful moment. So, you know, this thing has been building up. We're really, really grateful right now. And it's very exciting what everything is happening. Within the first week of the new single, Back to Black, we've already charted on Billboard at number 4 within 1 week of most added
that's wild.
Playlist to Act Rock mainstream radio.
Yeah, you know, so, it's kind of wild with that. I mean, you guys did the Amy Winehouse cover, and who would have thought of, you know, flipping over that Amy Winehouse and making it a little more rock and roll, and it came out amazing.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of work there. You know, it was Paul's idea, and we're all kind of, you know, scratching our head. I'm like, I mean, yeah, it's a great song. What are we going to do with this? This is not going to be easy. But we all said, okay, you know, Johnny and Del and Keith and I, we all kind of just sat in a room and said, okay, we're going to just do what we can with this. So we spent a lot of hours. So it was, at the time, we were using A.J. St. James, who had produced the EP with us. And he said, well, let's start tracking it like this. So we kind of laid down the foundation. Because as we were doing pre-production, I was ready to throw my guitar against the wall. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. How are we going to make this great? Because she was fantastic in her own right. It's a fantastic song. So how do you take that and give justice to it? So after the initial sessions, we switched producers and went with Mike Gillies, who's Metallica's longtime engineer since the Load record. So Mike came in, and then he kind of just, you know, ripped everything apart. He's like, we're going to redo all this. And he had this grand vision for what you hear recorded. So after the template was already set, you know, he took it a step farther. So that was great to have both, you know, AJ and Mike really kind of just put the thing into momentum, because we were lost as the band. We were lost on the track. We didn't know what to do. We had an idea, but it really wasn't until Mike started, you know, producing it and, you know, adding all these amazing parts. And at the end of the day, we were like, oh my God, this came out really, really spectacular. And the record is phenomenal, you know. There's so many good songs. It's the best thing I've done to date, and I'm not abashed to say that. So it's a very exciting time right now with the band.
You know, it's really cool, too, because, like, you know, when it came out, the video came out, I guess, last week, you know, I'm listening to it, and it like, took me a minute. I'm like, it was one of them ones where, like, when you're hearing the melody and all, you're like, I know this freaking song. And then when you finally, like, put two and two together, and I'm like, wait a minute. But I didn't go back and listen to the Amy Winehouse one until, like, I was sitting down last night, and I was, you know, going through and prepping for today and researching everything. And I went back and I checked out the Amy Winehouse video. And I'm like, okay, now I remember. Yeah. You guys really.
And that's when I knew. I'm like, Paul, you brilliant bastard. I'm like, because I was somewhat familiar with her a little bit, but I couldn't tell you, like, oh yeah, I love this song from her. I just knew, yeah, she was, you know, great singer and put out amazing music, and unfortunately, you know, died at an early age due to drugs and alcohol. And then the same day I watched the video, and that night it just wouldn't leave my head in bed, and it's replaying. This is a great idea, because that it was the key element right there. It stuck in my head. It's a fantastic song. So the trick was, and the challenge was, to put a whole new spin on it, and it's a lengthy song as well. So how do you, especially for radio, how do you get it down to less than 4 minutes and make it very interesting, and then make it a rock version too? But it's one of my favorite songs off the record. I'm really proud of it, and I'm proud of everybody involved with it. You know, they just did an amazing job on every aspect of it.
You know, it really made what it made me do too. Like, going back and watching her version, it made me appreciate her. Like, you know what I mean? Cause it was like, you know, it was kind of like, all right, Amy Winehouse, I got mad respect. I totally, you know, amazing singer, et cetera. But I never actually took the time out of my day to, like, purposely listen to Amy Winehouse. But it made me appreciate her now. Like, I was like, wow, like, that was really an amazing song. And then hearing your version is an amazing song, too. And it's got your stamp of approval on it. So it's like a beautiful thing both ways around now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Very well said. Yep. I agree.
Now, if you can just get, here's the scary part that really flipped my lid. She's got 432 million views on that freaking video. So if you can get like 10%, it would be great.
I know, dude. When I saw that originally, I was like, holy crap. I mean, wow. You know, she's obviously connected with more than a few people with this track. What it is that the storyline in the song, I think, is fantastic as well. And I think everyone can relate to it. And it's very dark and kind of depressing and moody. But it's got this haunting melody. And that's really what is very cool, what Mike brought out in the guitars and the melody lines and the breakdown. And, you know, Paul ended up actually re-singing it because Mike had some great ideas of, you know, vocal things. And I don't think we could have done any better remake of it. So, like I was saying, I'm super just kind of blown away how great it turned out. So, and everybody's really connecting with it. And the video, too.
Right.
We did for it. It turned out amazing too. So all in all, I think it's a winner, and you know, super super grateful for how that all has been laid out. Yeah.
And you know, something too, like, and you mentioned it earlier, and a lot of stuff I kept reading, you kept bringing up this one band name, which is kind of like me personally, I get it, but also too, like, we're about the same age, and you think to ourselves, like, you know, you've been around the block a minute, especially you kind of got, you know, being part of LA Guns for 10 years, you get kind of looped in with that whole quote unquote hair band situation. But the band Stone Temple Pilots, I hear you guys saying, you know, you're very influenced on with this new project by Stone Temple Pilots. You kind of take a step back and be like, it's kind of weird in a way to hear that.
Well, you know, I mean, just because I was in a band from the 80s, that's mean, you know, that I don't, you know, I mean, it's a genre that I was a part of, but it's, you know, it wasn't my life or anything. I liked all kinds of music. So it's not that it's like, well, if somebody might be caught off guard me saying this, it's like that was actually one of my favorite bands in the 90s. I'm like,
me too. Yeah.
I still to this day, they're one of my favorite bands. I mean, I like all kinds of, you know, of rock and metal, everything from, you know, Wasp to Alice in Chains to Foo Fighters to, you know, Guns N' Roses and Cheap Trick and Aerosmith. But I love all the new rock that's coming out. I'm really in a different headspace than I was years ago. And this is the kind of music that I'm writing now, as opposed to maybe doing something that was from that genre.
Right.
It's like how do you describe that? You know, I changed lanes, you know, but at the same time, it's like, what's cool about Electric Radio Kings is like, if you like 70s rock, you'll dig this band. If you like 80s metal, you'll dig this band. If you like 90s alternative rock, you'll dig this band. If you like bands from 2000 on and everything that's kind of going on with what's called active rock or new rock, you'll dig this band too. So, and we didn't sit there and contrive, hey, we're going to do this. It just kind of naturally came out that way. And I think it's all my different influences as being one of the, you know, the songwriter, and Paul and I write most of the songs, you know. So it's all our different musical styles that kind of just come into this. And it's just like a big giant flower, you know. It kind of appeases everybody.
Right.
It's not like where, like, if you like one type of music, and then you listen to this, so let me take a you know, Stacey's new band. It's like, oh no, that's too left turn for me. It's not that much of a departure, but at the same time, yes, it is very different than anything I have done in the past.
Do you think, too, you almost kind of want to make a statement like you're not just that guy? There's more to Stacey Blaze than just being the guitar player from LA Guns.
Yeah, no, totally. You know, I'm a musician. I'm an artist. I'm a songwriter. Music is a journey. It's just you don't arrive at one place and just stay there.
Right.
And I've always kind of been that way as a guitar player, too. I like all kinds of different guitar players and different styles of guitar playing. And I always try to be a sponge and absorb all different things. And it just makes you more of a well-rounded musician. It's like I just don't listen to like two different guitar players and that's it, you know. To me, music is just an open palette. It's a canvas. And yeah, I've always kind of had that mindset, you know. And, awesome. You know, when I tell people certain music or certain bands that I listen to, you know, they're kind of surprised, like, whoa, really? And it's like, for me, it's just, it's, you know, it makes you just more of a well-rounded performer and artist and a songwriter. I think that's a huge thing, is to like a lot of different kinds of music to express yourself. And like I said, it's like a sponge, man. I try to absorb a lot of different things so I can, come across in a certain way if I want to.
Right.
Just all write the same song year after year after year, whether that's a good or bad, you know?
Well, the album Purr, when mm-hmm. will we be hearing the whole thing of that?
We just finished mastering with the final mixes with Mike about a week ago. So we're hopefully looking at a end of the month, beginning of April release on Grand Vision Records. So that's exciting after, you know, 10, 11 months of working on this. It's the longest I've worked on a record, but I'm glad that we really put the time in to make things really great with that and just tweak every little thing that needed to do with that. So really excited to finally release that and let everybody hear what, you know, we've been working on for, you know, since last May or June, and it's here we are March. So yeah, we've been at it for a while.
Now, if Back to Black keeps doing the way it's done, like in the first week out, would you think maybe hold off a little bit, even just to build up a little more wet people's whistle and build up a little more anticipation for people for it to come out?
You know, at one point it's just like either, you know, shit or get out of the pot. It's just like, hey guys, look, come on, man, we got to get this out. You know, the next single probably will be, you know, late spring, early summer, and we'll do another video. And we have a great working relationship with a guy named Mason Wright, young guy, video director. He did Sympathy for Me, and he also did the new one, Back to Black. And he's great. He has a company called Keep It Cane Productions, and he's really, really up on the rise, and he just did a fantastic job. So we'll work with him again. And but, yeah, right now, it's, you know, I mean, literally we just started radio last week, so we're garnering a lot of steam right now. So we're going to be doing that for the next 2 months and working that. And we are talking to people putting a summer tour together and get out and play all these songs. So, yeah, we're excited.
Now, is this the only cover on the album, or is there any other ones?
That's the only cover. So
cool.
It's 10 songs, 9 or 10 songs. We're kind of deciding on that if we should do 9 or 10. There is 10 recorded. And it'll be 3 songs from the EP and 7 new songs. They're very strong songs. So we're kind of deciding what the next single is going to be. It's been an amazing process to see these songs really develop through Mike. And it's funny because we've been so used to playing them a certain way that we had to actually relearn how to play, all these, songs, except for the 3 from the EP. Why? Because they've been produced and edited, you know, so much that it's like,
right.
it's pretty trippy when you have to relearn your own song. But I love that because it's the whole part of the process, you know, and it makes the experience even more special, I think.
That's awesome. Now, you, being out there in Vegas, you had mentioned Desert Moon Studios. Do you see the Count a lot?
From time to time, he's a super busy guy because, you know, he's got the show and Counting Cars that he's on a very heavy production schedule. And then, you know, his own band, Count 77, they play quite a lot. So I run into him every now and then. Wonderful guy. And also, Corey, his wife, runs the club.
Right.
And we just played there. We did our national radio kickoff party, and she's awesome, too. So lots of love for them. Yeah.
Yeah, Danny's done the show a few times, so I was going to say, if you see him, like, smack him in the head for me and tell him I love him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's a great guy.
He is. He's hysterical, man. That's too funny. Cool. So summer tour. Any planning coming out the East Coast? I mean, this is exciting now.
Well, you know, yeah, although the Ducks are finally kind of in a row up there, and that was something last year where we were, you know, although the Sympathy for Me did quite well, we only did a month worth of radio campaign on that. But it got the band legs. So now that we have, you know, the video and the single and the press and the radio campaign and the album, you know, the last little piece of the puzzle is finding a, you know, a good agent and manager, which we are talking to now. But yeah, we want to play everywhere. So, you know, we want to spread the music to the fans and have people to get a chance to see what I'm doing now. And then you can come see the new band. Because, you know, over the course of several years, I've made some great friends and fans out there through LA Guns. And I'm excited and they're excited to see, you know, what this whole thing is about. Because they only get to see it in little clumps of one song, one video, one song, one video. So that's why I'm so excited about getting this record out. And it's just so amazing. And so people can share it and experience it. But yeah, that's the idea, is to tour all over the place.
Do you think that's one of the toughest parts of like getting your like your own project and running into the part now that you're, you know, getting ready to release the album and everything, where you find the right agent and manager to really get you out there even further to the next step?
Totally. It's hard work, you know, Ben. When I've been, you know, playing music professionally for many years, many decades. And like, thank God, I have a good name in the industry. But at the same time, it's like when you're starting something new, it's a real uphill climb. It'll test your strength. It'll test your will. It'll test your drive. And that's that kind of the hardest thing, absolutely. And it's finding the right guy. You know, we've hooked up with a couple of agents, but they didn't do anything. You know, they sat around for months with nothing. So you got to kind of go through, you know, changing lanes and go through all the cones and to find the right person. But it is very important in putting the right team together with you who understands you or understands, like, who you should be playing with as far as other bands or support and what markets that you're, you know, targeted to. So that's the challenge, too. Is I mean, there's a lot of great industry guys out there, but it's the ones that I get it. I get what you're trying to do. Now we have a plan of attack. Now we have product. Now we have this. Now we have that. And that's why we continue to work with Gary and Rob over at Landshark, because they get us. You know, we've got this kind of straight ahead. You know, it's like we're not classic rock, we're not retro rock, we're a little bit of that, but active rock as well, and they get that. So there's all those avenues that, you know, we could play with Sammy Hagar, and people wouldn't be going scratching their heads, this doesn't fit. Or we could, you know, play with Stone Temple Pilots, or play with Hailstorm, or Papa Roach, and it would be still a good fit. So that's what I really love about this, is that it is just so well-rounded musically that we kind of fit in with a little bit with everybody.
Absolutely. It's the way to go.
Yes. Let's hope so.
Yeah, now,
I think I mean, the right thing.
Yeah, getting like a Hailstorm tour would be cool, or Alice Cooper. I mean, that's like, yeah, the best of all worlds.
Yes, totally, exactly. So, you know, what was cool too, is that, you know, when I kind of changed musically over the last few years, really, it opened up my eyes to there's a whole new world of rock that's doing very well. Rock is not dead at all.
No.
It's really thriving out there. That was really cool to kind of get into a lot of new bands, or bands that I was already aware of that had new records and going, wow, this is really great stuff. It's rejuvenation. It's like a spark. And I felt like that kid again, like discovering all these new bands and then rediscovering bands that I had listened to maybe in the 90s or late 90s. And listening to their new albums and getting really, you know, rejuvenated and influenced again, and just kind of just falling in love with music again.
Right.
Because when you've been doing it for years and years and years, things can get a little stale. Or if you keep listening to the same kind of music, it's like you kind of hit a wall a little bit.
Yeah.
So anytime you get influenced or rejuvenated, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, I go through, like, I don't know if you're a fan of Spotify or not, but like if you listen, like go through my Spotify, like 1 minute it's like Frank Sinatra, the next minute it could be The Sweet, or the next minute it could be Slayer. Like I'm all over the place, you know what I mean? Like I listen to everything.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing to do, especially as an artist. I mean, some music fans, they like, you know, they listen to one thing, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great thing. For me, it was always, even as a kid, man, I liked so many different things, and that's kind of stayed with me. I love that. It's just like, you know, don't limit yourself to just one music style or just a few bands. You know, there's a whole big world out there.
Yeah, and as far as like people that think rock is dead, you know, I think right now it's thriving more than ever. I think there's actually maybe possibly too much right now. It's just trying to find, because I know it's very overwhelming for me that there's just so much out there, and you got to like pick and choose your battles at times. Like, all right, like who am I going to listen to now, and who am I going to give a chance to? And you know, when you come across, you know, something like Electric Radio Kings, where all right, I know Stacey from the past, so it's like boom. Get to listen to it and love it, it's even better. So it's like win-win.
Well, it's great, and it's cool because it was like you were just saying, it's like, oh, well, you know, I kind of remember that song from Amy Winehouse. Let me go check it out. And then now you've opened up this book, and it's like, wow, this is really great. Let me check out another song. And I love it when turning people on to music, or people, hey, Stace, check this band. You got to check this band out. Or even people, you know, like posting Twitters or you know, Eddie Trunk Twitters about it, a band that's charting and stuff like, hey, I've heard of them, but let me check them out. I love it. It's just, it's like sharing. It's like, you know, if you're, it's like a kid on the playground telling about, you know, all your friends about this new game and stuff like that. I think people really need to share music and really, you know, have an open mind and experience other things, but just grateful to be part of the whole cycle.
I mean, like back in the day when we were kids, it was, you know, you would grab a bunch of your either 45s or your albums, or you'd take this and you'd go to your buddy's house and you'd hang out and sprawl them on the floor and, you know, you listen to the music and talk about the music and all. And people don't do that nowadays.
Yeah, I kind of see it changing a little bit. And I think people are just, they're hungry for the artists that they love, for new stuff. But I think that, you know, because music has been so, mainstream music has been so shitty, and I mean so shitty over the last 10 years, you know, with all the pop music, and it's just so disposable that if one new rock band or a band that's been around for a while starts doing well, it's like, oh, you know, we're so grateful.
Right.
That finally, finally, this motion is moving forward.
Yep.
And, you know, so I'm really saying, I've been saying this for years. I think that it's starting to happen is a music revolution. Because you can only force feed Main Street people shitty music for so many years and years and years and years and years till they get fed up. I'm like, I don't want to listen to this anymore. You know, it's a perfect thing with the Grammys. It's like the ratings keep dropping and dropping and dropping. It's like, well, gee, you wonder why?
Right? It just needs that one.
But, you know, rock and roll has always been underground. It always will be, you know. Yeah. You know that. I know that.
It just needs that one song to, like, kick the door in a little bit and shed the light
on
it.
Well, I think just with the resurgence of Guns N' Roses again and among other artists, I think it's just really kick-started rock being a popular genre again. And it'll never die. It never does. It goes through stages, as you know, up and down. But I really feel over the last couple of years, man, it's really making a comeback. And thank God, because we've been subjected to really crappy music a lot over the last decade.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know.
Oh, man. So, all right, so Stacey, where should we send everybody to find out more about the Electric Radio Kings and so they can anticipate this album and everything else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have the website, electricradiokings.com. We are very active on Twitter, which is ERK Radio 2017. Our Facebook page is really growing. That is facebook.com/electricradiokings. 7,300 members and growing. also, Instagram, you can find us. And, of course, you know, I'm always posting about the band and things that I'm doing on my Facebook page stuff. So, yeah, we're very active on socials because it is, that's a world that we live in now. All of that.
Social marketing.
It's a job. I mean, it's 24/7. And if you don't do it, you fall behind.
Yeah, like I kind of scratch my head. Like there's sometimes like when I'm like doing an interview and all, and like people don't have a Twitter, and I'm thinking to myself, really? Like you don't even have to use it. You can just set it up to like automatically do stuff. Like come on, like you gotta have something.
It's like okay, I'm gonna start my morning. I got a tweet. I got an Instagram. I got a Facebook. You know, and you have to do it pretty much every day or every other day. It's just that's the world we live in. We live in a social media ocean.
Yeah.
And it's in a way it's great, but in a way I don't know if it hinders things because everything is so instant now.
Right.
You know, here I am. You know. Rehearsing, here I am at this venue, here I am. But it's this constant flow that you either, you know, get in the lane and swim, or you kind of just stand on the shore and watch everybody move past you. So you constantly have to do it. And that's just the way it is.
It's a weird world we're living in. Can be fun, but it's definitely weird.
It is weird. I will think that.
Stacey, before I let you go, if you can just do an ID for me too. This is Stacey Blades of the Electric Radio Kings, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
This is Stacey David Blades from Electric Radio Kings, and you are listening to the one and only Totally Driven Radio.
Awesome. Dude, thanks so much, man. Congrats on everything, and I can't wait to hear this whole freaking
thing. Thank you, babe. I appreciate you taking the time to talk about the band and then promote the band. And thank you so much. Really means a lot.
Absolutely, man. And I hope to see you guys hit Philly.
Thanks, buddy. Yes.
Take care.
I'll let you know. All right. Have a great week, buddy. Cheers.
You too.
Bye.
to Jeremy Rocks, Bay Ragney here, and there they are, Stacey Blade and the Electric Radio Kings, and that's the tune Back to Black. Amy Winehouse cover, freaking killer, killer version. I mean, the original's super cool, but the cover, their version of it, I mean, it's Electric Radio Kings. Like, they put a killer rock sound to it, which was awesome. So make sure you check them out, Electric Radio Kings. They're all over social media, website. The album's coming out. The album's called Purr, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Keep an eye and ear open for that as well. And make sure you check me out and check out Totally Driven Radio and Totally Driven Entertainment. We're all over Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just look for myself, Bay Ragney, or Totally Driven Entertainment or Totally Driven Radio. And make sure you do these very important words I'm about to tell you. Stay driven. See you, everybody.